Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Stand up, because I'm Slim Shady. Yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
It's the only line I would ever drop from Eminem on the show, but I do that sometimes. I get into my, please stand up, please stand up, because I get confused. What identity are we seeing from these teams week in, week out? And certainly it applies to the NFL this season, right? We've got a bunch of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So yeah, will the real Steelers, will the real Bills, will the real Rams, please stand up, for heaven's sakes. Wave your hands in the air like you just don't care. Please stand up, because here it is. We're through week 13, and we still don't really have a bead on those teams that we can trust outside of a few. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You've given me the teams that you trust. It's a group of seven. With maybe an eighth. That's it. It's a very select group, and New England is in it, but I didn't see one vote for Buffalo. Buffalo makes me nervous. All year long, I've been talking about them playing with fire. All year long, I've been talking about their inconsistency, wondering if they were going to settle into that same kind of dominant mode, ability to beat you a variety of ways, physical, tough football. Josh Allen's played well, but not great. It doesn't help that the Bills do not have a consistent run game, that very often he is their top running back. And I get it. He's big. He's Cam Newton big. He's physical. He's athletic. He's fast. And he'll bowl you over. But I still don't think Josh Allen should be the Bills' top running back. And it's not just the fact that they don't have a consistent run game. It's that they are struggling to establish the run against teams with big bodies, stout defensive lines. And in the case of the Patriots on Monday Night Football, they knew what was coming. Everybody knew what was coming. After two drives, was it fairly obvious? I hope that you picked up on it quickly. The Patriots weren't going to ask Mac Jones to throw the ball in that wind. One pass he threw for 12 yards. In the first half, he attempted two passes in the second half. One of them was a completion, the other not. It was obvious. Sean McDermott said after the game, we knew what the Patriots were trying to do. But has it become a problem for the Bills? A problem that we've seen now over the course of 6 weeks? Yeah. Against teams that have really tough physical offensive lines, the Colts, the Titans, even though they no longer have Derrick Henry, we know they still have a stout O-line. Those teams give the Bills major problems. Now, you take out the one Damian Harris run, the burst in the first quarter, the only touchdown of the game for the Patriots. You take that out, and sure, the numbers aren't quite as gaudy. And in the second half, they had a field goal, and then they needed defensive stops. So it's not like this was some offensive gem for New England either. But they took the ball out of Mac's hands, and they relied on the veterans along the offensive line, in the backfield, and then on that defensive side of the ball. Someone asked me why I trust the Patriots. They have a rookie quarterback, he said. But I trust the Patriots because everybody else around Mac Jones has been there, done that. The majority of guys around Mac, the coaching staff, the rest of the New England Patriots, especially on defense. These are guys that have logged a lot of games in the NFL and, let's be honest, a lot of wins. If you had told me before this game started that it would be 14-10 and that there would be field goal, there'd be only two touchdowns, they both came in the first half, I might have been meh about the game. Nah, this was great. It was a battle of wills. There was tension all the way through. And of course, the wind. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The wind was howling at my house, and I do not live in Western New York. I can only imagine what it was like. I know we have people who were at the game who are listening now or listening before they went to bed. I don't know how much sleep you're going to get if you were in this stadium for this game, but I was really impressed with the atmosphere. I thought the Bills fans brought it big time. The Damian Harris run, that was pretty early on. He broke free. Again, masterful job by the offensive line, but also the fullback who blocked the one guy that could have stuffed the hole that Damian Harris found. And Harris stops on a dime and changes direction and is gone. So that was the big run. That was the big blow. But the Bills answered. After that, it was like pulling teeth. And yet, this was such a unique game. I wouldn't have wanted anything different. It was perfect. It really was perfect for December in the AFC East in Western New York with a game plan that we hope we never have to see executed again. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It was kind of interesting. I was watching Monday Night Football, and I believe Steve Levy said after the initial turnover by the Bills. So the Bills had the first turnover. After that turnover, he said it won't be the last. There will be many more, something along those lines. Now, there weren't many more, but yes, the first 15 points of the game came off turnovers. The Damian Harris run, the 64-yard run, was after the Bills turned the ball over, and then not that long after that, it was, I mean, it was by the flex of paint on N'Keal Harry's helmet. It was just one of those moments where you think, what? We wouldn't even have known that it glanced off his helmet if not for the slow-mo.
High, wind aided, bounces at the 21, can't get to it. Bills down there to cover up, and they get it. Micah High covers up at the 14-yard line, or Saran Neal, who covers up at the 14-yard line. Did he touch it? I think he did. The Bills have recovered the football. Josh Allen in the shotgun. First down from the 14. The snap. Fakes a handoff. Fires a strike. Caught. Touchdown, Buffalo. Touchdown, Bills. It is Gabriel Davis. An absolute fastball from Josh Allen. And the Bills find the end zone. Cashing in on the takeaway.
John Murphy on the Bills Radio Network. So, yes, first 15 points of the game coming off turnovers. And that was all she wrote in terms of touchdowns. Still, though, the fact that it was such a unique game plan and the fact that Bill Belichick specifically took the ball out of his rookie quarterback's hands and dared the Bills defense to stop the run. It's brazen, is it not? It's bold. But weighing all of the options, the pros and the cons, if you will, this is what the Patriots want to do, right? They want to establish the run by any means necessary. I mean, they were handing the ball to anybody out there who would take it. Jonnu Smith. I mean, it wasn't just running backs that were carrying the ball, but they were trying to lower the risk factor in the conditions in which they played. Mac Jones called it windy. Yes. Yes, it was. Now, I thought it was interesting, too. After their touchdown with Damian Harris, they went for two as opposed to trying to kick the extra point. Again, because of the wind. And so when they go for two and they're successful, then it really does put the onus on the Bills. They choose to kick the extra point after their touchdown, but it put them in this awkward situation. We knew points would be hard to come by, but the rushing yards, not so much. 46 carries for New England, 222 rushing yards. Not major chunks. I mean, Damian Harris had the longest one. But Buffalo was doing everything it could to stuff the box, to stack it up, to try to plug those holes, and the Patriots just kept finding them. So masterful game plan by Belichick, but also Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator. And as much as I know people love to point to quarterbacks and say, that's a win for the QB, you know what? The best thing Mac Jones could do is just not botch a handoff. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot that was asked of him. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, in the fourth quarter, it was about the defense. So there's good news and there's bad news for Buffalo. The good news is they had opportunities. They got into the red zone four times. In fact, if you look at the stats following this game, and you look at especially the opportunities in the second half, the Patriots only made it into the red zone one time. Four different trips into the red zone for Buffalo, including two in the second half, or two actually in the fourth quarter. And so this is where it became less about the offensive game plan and more about that veteran defense that's playing so well for New England.
At the 23, it's a 33-yard fourth and four.
It's a pass all the way, of course, with Allen waiting on the shotgun
snap. Patriots in shell coverage here.
Patriots have two deep safeties. Snapped Allen. He looked right. Rolls left. Now he's in trouble. Allen's in trouble. He's going backwards. He stays on his feet. Keeps the play alive. Shuffles right. Throws toward the end zone. Ball is going to be knocked down incomplete.
Wow.
Adrian Phillips was there covering Dawson Knox.
Fourth and 14. Buffalo at the 18 of the New England Patriots in the shotgun with 3-1. Allen looks over the defense, got the shotgun snap. They rush five. Here comes the blitz. He throws a wind right pass. Batted down at the one. Batted down on the hash mark by Miles Bryant at the one-yard line, just outside the goal line. And New England's defense does it again. They do it again, stopping the Buffalo Bills deep in their own zone. And on downs it goes to New England.
First, Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak on Patriots Radio, and then Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, who, by the way, will be a guest on our show come Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. So, yeah, mid-fourth quarter, the Bills are there. And Matthew Judon comes up with a huge sack that pushes them back, not out of what would you consider field goal range, right? But because of the swirling winds and because the Bills were going against the wind in the fourth quarter, it was a miss. And then they get back into the red zone. They have another opportunity, couple of shots at the end zone, and on both third and fourth down, the Patriots are successful in stopping those completions. Now, I will say this about Josh Allen. He has a cannon for an arm, and I was really impressed with the balls that he was throwing last night. He had a bunch of drops. Dawson Knox comes to mind, dropped a couple of passes. He did have some balls that were on target. However, the way that the Bills failed to establish the run was just as glaring as the Patriots' dominance in being able to run the ball whenever they wanted. And even if they weren't constantly picking up first down. So again, you look at the stats are not glorious when it comes to those third down conversions. The Patriots were 2 of 12. In fact, their rate was not even as good as the Bills, which was almost as anemic. But the fact that they were telling everyone who was paying attention that they were going to run the ball and they did it just enough and then relied on their defense, what more could you ask in conditions like that? So really impressive, I thought. And of course, seven straight wins at any point by any team during an NFL season is also impressive. The fact that they're doing it with a rookie quarterback and they put their faith in him, and he had kind of those ups and downs to start and is not turning the ball over nearly as much now. That's huge. But he's surrounded by veterans, and that's the part that gives me trust in the Patriots. And of course, Bill Belichick. Hello, Bill Belichick. This is still a Hall of Fame coach with or without Tom Brady.
It's really good to come in here and win. So make no mistake about it, Buffalo's a really good football team. They're well coached. They got a lot of good players, and they play hard and they're tough. But good to get the win. very proud of our players. These guys did a good job on all three units.
It takes a village, and the coaches, they've been in a lot of games like this, and Coach Belichick and Coach Josh, they've been in every type of element there is, and they know what it takes to win. So I think we knew if we just held onto the ball, we'd be okay. And when we do that this year, we're like 93% win. So we just got to continue to do that.
It takes a village. I do not know where Mac Jones learned that. Maybe his mom read the book when he was younger and still at home. That's the title of Hillary Clinton's book, which I haven't read either, but at least I knew the reference. How would he know that reference at 23 years old? Barely 23 years old. It takes a village. He's interesting. I don't love his post-game press comments or his post-game pressers, but he fits the Patriot system perfectly.
It takes a village, and the coaches, they've been in a lot of games like this.
It's just, I mean, it's exactly what Belichick wants. Did you guys hear the story? I didn't watch the Monday Night Mannings. I have it taped. I'm going to go back and have it on while I'm doing some work on Tuesday. But apparently, I saw this story on Twitter. Apparently, Peyton called Mac Jones like he does every quarterback before they do one of these Monday Night broadcasts. And Mac said to him, hey, you have to get permission from the team before I can talk to you, which in and of itself is impressive. I asked producer James earlier, how many other quarterbacks, let's just even limit it to the rookie quarterbacks, right? Because there's no way that Tom Brady's asking for permission to talk to Peyton Manning, right? So, but they're friends. They can talk anytime they want. But let's just limit it to say the quarterbacks who are still on their rookie contracts. What are that? Like half of the NFL, roughly, these young quarterbacks. How many of them do you think say to Peyton Manning, I have to get permission first?
If I'm
Manning,
a young QB, that's the dream, is to get any sort of knowledge you can get from that mind. I'm not asking permission. I'm sorry. If my coach says no, I'm like, I'm going anyway.
Whoopsie. Sorry. Already had the conversation. But just to have Peyton Manning call you. I mean, most of these young quarterbacks grew up watching Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. So I guess I'm impressed, but I'm also a little mortified.
Omaha.
And so Mac Jones says to Peyton, I have to get permission from the team. And get this, Patriots denied permission. So Mac Jones ultimately did not speak to Peyton Manning on the phone about anything of consequence. And Peyton said on the broadcast that is the first time he's ever been denied access to a QB or not allowed to speak to a quarterback.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
Now, here's my question. What do you think, James? I think his name is Stacey James. I think he's in charge. He's a longtime PR director, communications director for the Patriots. Let me look it up real quick. But I think that's his name. Do you think he went to Belichick and ran it by him or just said, nope, I'm the gatekeeper?
It's got to be.
Hell
at this,
no.
Yeah, at this point, I feel like he knows Bill Belichick's answers. You know, they have probably that working relationship where he doesn't have to ask him. He just goes, I feel like Bill wouldn't like that one. So I don't know. That's what I think, yeah. I think he knows Bill's answer before he even has to ask Bill about it.
Yeah, I just wonder, is that something you run up the flagpole or no? Stacey James, yes, I got the name right, which is good because I don't always get the names right. But he is the vice president of media relations for the Patriots, and he's been there even going back to the days when I was covering the Patriots working in the Providence market. So he's been there a long time. I'd have to look up the number of years that he's been there. But yeah, I wonder if he just knows. I'm going to go with hell to the gnaw.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's going to allow our rookie quarterback to talk to you.
That's what I'm thinking. I think he knows exactly what Bill's going to say.
A fantastic story. I'm so glad Peyton told it. I can't wait to hear it myself, actually, on the Monday Night Mannings. All right, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, Josh Allen responds to a question about whether or not they're spiraling in Buffalo. And also, interesting exchange between reporters and a couple of members of the Buffalo defense, which usually I'm on the side of reporters and media. They have a job to do. It's not always a popular job. I get it that it's tough to talk to athletes, especially in the wake of what is a painful loss. In this case, pretty brutal for the Bills. But in this case, I'm siding with the athletes. I feel like they've got a beef. I'll put it that way. And also a little bit with Sal Capaccio, who is the Bills sideline reporter on their radio network and was hanging on for dear life with the wind on Monday night. Can you believe week 13 is now in the books? Wowzers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Fourth and 14, Buffalo at the 18 of the New England Patriots in the shotgun with 3-1. Allen looks over the defense, got the shotgun snap. They rush 5. Here comes the blitz. He throws a line drive pass. Batted down at the 1. Batted down on the hatch mark by Miles Bryant at the 1-yard line, just outside the goal line. And New England's defense does it again. They do it again, stopping the Buffalo Bills deep in their own zone. And on downs it goes to New England.
We sent some pressure, and I knew he had to get the ball out quick. And I was actually on Beasley, and then I saw the ball end up going to Davis. So then I was just able to put my hand in there. I think I should have picked it. It would have put the game away a lot quicker, but I was glad I was able to make a play and we were able to get a win.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The great Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, who at some point during last night's broadcast, because I was doing my homework and I was preparing for what's to come on our hump show tonight, he says this: there's a hot dog wrapper blowing across the field. That's the kind of detail only offered by the great Kevin Harlan. And so he will be on our show tonight. We're excited. We've been trying to connect with him for weeks now. And he's had a crazy schedule through the fall, as he always does. He's also had some personal commitments. But he's always entertaining. He always brings it. And he offered tonight, and we said yes. And so Kevin Harlan on this edition of The Hump Show on CBS Sports Radio. Also, Mean Joe Green will be joining us, too, this week. And we've got some other surprises in store as we head toward Christmas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills have now lost 4 of 7 games. And there's a theme. There's a pattern. When they get pushed around, offensive line, defensive line, on the line of scrimmage, they really do struggle. They're second place in the AFC East, and they've had some really difficult losses.
I don't know if it's spiraling out of control. I don't know if I'd put it in that context, but you know, we got to win the close ones. We got to find a way, and we were 1-4 in the red zone tonight. Didn't play good enough. I take that very personally, and you know, I got to play better and be better for this team.
I do not put much stock into if the playoffs started today, especially with this AFC, because it feels as though it changes really week to week. I mean, how many consecutive weeks have we had a different top seed in the AFC? Right now, it's the Patriots, only team in the conference with 9 wins. But if you count down, because of how clumped together all of the other teams are, it's Patriots 1, Titans, Ravens, Chiefs. They're all at 8-4. Titans, Ravens, Chiefs would be your division winners and would be your 1-4 if you include the Patriots. Then get this. The Chargers, 5. The Bengals, 6. The Bills would be the 7 seed. Now, I'm not telling you this is how it's going to end up, but just that they are in a very precarious position. The Steelers are right behind them. The Colts are there as well. Then you get to the Raiders, the Browns, the Broncos, who are all at 500. But it's a dogfight. They cannot afford to give up games like this at home. And think about that Jacksonville game. If that one comes back to bite them in the rear and that's the game that potentially keeps them out of the playoffs, oh, it'll give them nightmares. So Josh Allen says things aren't spiraling just yet. And he kind of goes on to say, I don't know what you want me to say here. We're going to keep working at it, and we're going to keep figuring it out.
Very confident in our guys. We've got some great leaders. We've got some true professionals on this team. And, you know, this can be one that can rip us apart or bring us together. And I think the latter, you know, I think we'll get things rolling. And I know for a fact that we will because of the makeup that we have.
Now, again, it was obvious to everyone watching this game after a few offensive series by the Patriots that they were not going to put the ball in Mac Jones' hands. They were going to run it, and they were going to run it and continue to run it, and they were going to break a few if they possibly could, but they were sticking to that game plan. Low risk, maybe low reward, but also low risk. We all knew it. So did Sean McDermott.
When you run the ball 45 times, you're going to make some yards here and there and things like that. I think if you take that one run out, then you help the average a little bit. But at the end of the day, that you can't give up a 64-yarder. That really skews the numbers there. So we knew that coming in, that was their plan. And then you add the weather on top of it. And then you got to score points to get them out of that too. Right? We're in the red zone 4 times. We're 1-4 in the red zone. Average starting field position was basically the 40-yard line for us compared to the 23-yard line for them. I mean, then you turn the ball over, right? So sloppy football.
I give the Bills credit. They had more opportunities. They put themselves in better positions than did the Patriots in the second half, but could not capitalize. And that's obviously where the defense comes in. Now, maybe you'll, I don't know, be amused, appreciate this exchange. Sean McDermott has heard enough about Bill Belichick, and this was at the very end of the press conference.
There's a few shots on the broadcast of you very visibly frustrated and animated. How would you just explain the psychological component of coaching against Bill Belichick, especially when he's doing something like that, just running the ball constantly?
Yeah, it's not. Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-4 in the red zone and they were 0-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. Mm. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turn the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football.
Okay, it's kind of a Bill Belichick thing. How many coaches could come up with a game plan, obviously other coaches on his staff, and see it out like that, see it through like that? So it's kind of a Bill Belichick thing. He's pretty good at the game planning situations. But I like how you can hear the question, it's a psychological effect, and he's like, I mean, let's not give Bill Belichick more credit than we need to. We're going to bring that back as a drop, because how many other coaches would like to say the same exact thing that Sean McDermott said? All right, one more thing, and I'm going to set this up. This is also at the end of a press conference where you've got Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, two members of the Bills defense, who are on the podium. They're up on the dais, and they're asked about the run game, right? Of course, that was the major theme. About the number of carries, about the number of rushing yards. And the reporter actually says, are you embarrassed by the performance of your run defense?
I mean, what kind of
question? Boy, what are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that? I think we gave up 7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10,
is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. Well, we'll remember that. I'll remember that.
This goes in disrespect. It's all about respect. I come here every single week and I answer your questions truthfully, honestly. I appreciate you guys. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Hey, generally, I'm on the side of media. It's not always a fun job, especially in the wake of a painful loss like this one for the Bills. Sometimes it's tough to answer, to ask questions that are going to get significant answers that you can use in your stories or that kind of help round out your radio show, your TV program, whatever it is. But that question was meant to embarrass them. As reporters, we're supposed to remain objective. And honestly, any question that has the adjective or the adverb in it is already setting a context and setting a tone. You ask, how do you feel after giving up that many run yards? What's your reaction after you see the stats and you know how many times they ran the ball? But to ask them if they're embarrassed by their run defense is a question meant to humiliate them. So generally, I'm on the side of the media and the reporters because I've done that job. I've been in those press conferences. I've been in locker rooms and clubhouses. I know it's not easy. We have a job to do. People want to hear from athletes. They want to know their reaction in the moment. But that question, it was meant to set them up. It was meant to embarrass them. By using the word embarrassed, it is disrespectful. And you did disrespect them. So I don't know who the reporter is. I don't really care. I'm on the side of Micah Hyde and Jordan Poirier there because that was a very disrespectful question. And they're right. 14 points, one touchdown. So yeah, a hell of a lot of yards. But ultimately, the Bills had plenty of opportunities to win. And the defense kept them in that game until the very end, if we're telling the whole story. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you can vote for TD of the Week. The candidates are glorious. I already voted. I can't help it. You should know if you listen to my Sunday night show which touchdown I was all in for. Now, coming up next, a couple of comments or a couple of questions with Sal Capaccio, who was on the sidelines for this Buffalo-New England game. And you might be surprised at what he says about the Bills and their playoff chances and their playoff prospects. And also, might be the best story of the week from the world of sports that you haven't heard. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Listening to the After Hours podcast.
Bryce has tons of time. Steps back, looks long, throws. Jameson Williams behind the defense. He's got it. Touchdown, Alabama! Touchdown, Alabama! And Jameson then goes over towards the student section for Alabama. Lets them take their pictures. 55 yards.
Obviously, a huge win for us. I'm super, super excited, super, super happy for the team. Kind of what Coach was saying is, just creating that opportunity for us. We know there's a long road ahead. We have that, we're hoping to get into that two-team season.
The voice of one, Bryce Young, Alabama quarterback who is the Heisman favorite, but beyond that is also an SEC champion and big game against Georgia in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That was on Saturday. And look at Alabama back at number one as the defending champions of college football, but different quarterback in Bryce Young. Remember, it was Mac Jones last year. Our player of the week is brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a closer look at this Alabama QB. 421 yards and 3 touchdowns in that victory over the, at the time, top-ranked Bulldogs in the SEC Championship. And this is a guy who's in his first season as a starter and now is the overwhelming favorite to take home the award. And I suppose he learned a thing or two as he was backing up Mac Jones during Bryce's freshman year. And he finished the season with some pretty impressive numbers. Gaudy, if you will. 4,322 passing yards, 46 touchdowns, though three of them were rushing TDs, only 4 interceptions, and his completion rate better than 68%. Now, here's the, kind of the interesting thing. We know that last year it was Devontae Smith who won the Heisman, actually beating out his quarterback, Mac Jones. Young could become Alabama's 4th Heisman winner, 2nd in a row, but he would be the Tide's first quarterback to claim the Heisman if that happens this weekend. The Player of the Week sponsored by Grainger for all the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry backed by 24/7 support and access to product experts. Call or click Grainger.com/safety or just stop by. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, the wake of Monday Night Football. Yes, the wind was the story. And so we had to catch up with Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter on their radio network, right there in the thick of things. And he was frank about the Bills' shortcomings in this game. But as we play a chunk of this back for you, I wanted to know how the wind directly affected him as he was hanging on to his hat there in the trenches.
Yeah, well, every time there was a special play to be made, a kick or something like that, my colleague, our play-by-play guy on the Bills radio network, John Murphy, you know, he'd do a wind check with me. You know, what's it like down there on the field? Because we knew that it could play a role in the game. Look, the wind had so much of a role in the game, even from before the game. Sean McDermott decided to have both Marquez Stevenson and Isaiah McKenzie, his only two return men, inactive because he said after the game he wanted somebody sure-handed in Micah Hyde to return punts. Micah Hyde's not a normal punt returner, but that was a decision because of the wind. The Patriots decided to go for two because of the wind. They didn't want to kick an extra point going in that direction. Obviously, we saw a missed field goal by the Bills in that direction. I mean, look, I know they were also having success in the run game. But the New England Patriots didn't even trust their quarterback to throw the football in the wind tonight. He threw the ball 3 times, which is incredible. It was there were times, and I weigh 170 pounds, and I will tell you, like, I got moved by the wind several times and literally had to grab onto somebody. I mean, that's how bad it got.
Obviously, you've got coaches and staff members that are holding papers, and you saw guys come off the field and immediately get wrapped up in a coat. And so the temperatures, the wind chills. When you talk about the running the balls, what did Sean McDermott have to say after the game about the fact that they knew the Patriots were going to run the ball and still saw them rack up 200-plus yards on the ground?
He didn't hide from it. He knows they have to be better. It's been a theme this year. If you go back to all the Bills' losses, they've all had the same script, Amy, which are they've gotten beaten at the line of scrimmage, particularly in the run game, and they have had bad, poor percentages in the red zone. They were 1-for-4 tonight, and that's been an issue this year, not stopping the run. The Indianapolis Colts came in here 2 weeks ago and ran for 267 yards. The New England Patriots ran for 222. Now, look, by volume, when you hand off 46 times, you're going to get your yards. It's just going to happen. And McDermott even said that. After the game, he said, look, it's the NFL. You're going to get a 10 or a 15 here or there because when you hand it off that much. But he said you can't have a 64-yarder. You know, that's unacceptable. And he also was very real about it and honest and said at this point in the season, it's hard to just fix everything. You're trying. You're trying everything you can every week. Now, look, they were very good against the New Orleans Saints on Thanksgiving night, but the Saints don't have the same offensive line. They were hurt. They didn't have a couple of their running backs, as we know. So the Bills have done a decent job. They're actually, believe it or not, the number 2 team in the NFL at yards per play allowed. But when they play a physical offensive line, they have trouble because the Bills have not built their team like that. They've built their team to win in this day and age of the NFL with athletic, leaner defensive linemen to get after the quarterback.
Sal Capaccio is with us, fresh off of what was the windiest game that he's covered in the NFL, and that's Buffalo Bills hosting the Patriots. There wasn't a lot of offense, but certainly was entertaining for a whole lot of other reasons. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You and I talked about this the last time you were on the show, actually, the Bills' ability to run the football, and you thought they had worked on that and improved that, and that was turning into more of a strength. After the stretch where they've dropped, what, 4 of 7? And it seems like Josh Allen is their leading rusher a good portion of the time. Can we revisit that? What about the Bills running the ball offensively?
Yeah, they're not able to do it very well. You're right. And they were starting to turn a corner, I felt, but that's really not happened. Josh was their leading rusher tonight, 39 yards, I believe. Even Sean McDermott said after the game, I thought McDermott was great after the game. He was honest and he was direct and he didn't hide from anything. He said, they're running backs, the Bills, averaged like 3 yards a carry. The Patriots running backs averaged 5 yards a carry. That's not going to get done in the National Football League. It's not the running game itself. It's handing the ball off to running backs. And I'm not blaming the running backs necessarily. It's everything. It's the offensive line and all that. Because Josh, you know, Josh can run. He can scramble. He can make yards with his legs. I'd actually like to see more of it, Amy. I mean, I thought the Bills left a lot of meat on the bone tonight. I thought play calling had a lot to be desired in the red zone. And I'd like to see Josh run. He's been so effective his career running in the red zone. I thought that Brian Daboll could have called a couple of designed runs for him there. If you don't have the ability to do it with your running backs and your Josh Allen is your leading rusher, then maybe you have to turn to that once in a while. So, yeah, this is something that hurts them. It's going to continue to hurt them, it appears. Now, I'll say, you would think, okay, well, if you're going to play in Buffalo, you got to run the ball. I mean, maybe, it's just maybe, it's a blessing in disguise if they have to get out of Buffalo in the playoffs and go somewhere where it's maybe a little bit easier to throw the ball and less about the running game.
Just to make sure I understand what you're saying, and just to make sure my audience understands what you're saying maybe it's not a bad thing if they don't win the AFC East and don't host a playoff game?
I would, of course, rather have them win the AFC East, host the playoffs. Coming to Buffalo, I think, is a mental edge for anybody. You'd love to have it here. But what I will say is the way the Buffalo Bills are built, I think you could make an argument that they could have a better shot to win in a warmer climate than they would at home in Buffalo or in a dome or something like that. Now, look, in the AFC, it's mostly cold weather teams, right? Baltimore, Pittsburgh. But if they have to go to Tennessee, let's say, in the playoffs, I think it's more conducive maybe in that climate to win the way they're built than even in Buffalo. Although, if you ask me, I'd have the Tennessee Titans, for example, come to Buffalo because I know what it could be like in that stadium for the opposing team.
You can hear the rest of that conversation with Sal Capaccio on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. We got into some other issues and some ways that the Bills can try to make changes now with just a handful of weeks left in the regular season. On Twitter and Facebook, vote for TD of the Week. You already voted for our Monday MVP, and it happens to be a defensive player. And so our Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD veterans and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Before that scintillating fourth quarter by the Steelers against the Ravens with the 2 touchdowns and near-perfect delivery by Ben Roethlisberger, it was the defense that was keeping the Steelers afloat. 7 sacks of Lamar, 3.5 by one T.J. Watt, who wreaks havoc. Let's be honest. He is a force of nature, though last week he wasn't sure he's going to be out there on the field.
If I could do it all over again, I'd practice. I'm sick of running around in my backyard. I'm sure my neighbors think I was crazy this week, but glad I was able to play this week. That was the goal, and glad we were able to get a win.
I'm sick of running around in my backyard. So your choice for the Defensive Player of the Week, you can learn more at NavyFederal.org. The story that I wanted to share with you, and that we have some audio to go along with, but I think I'm going to have to bump it to our next show because we just don't have time, but I promise we'll get to it. If you missed it on Sunday, it was kind of buried in everything that was going on with football. The fact that we now have some new members of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and one of them is Gil Hodges, who passed away at 94 years old, but he survived by his wife and his son. His wife still lives in the same house that they lived in forever. And of course, the story is that he was up for election so many times and got passed over and passed over and passed over, but now finally has this honor. And so really excited. We'll talk more about those. But the fact that you finally get this honor for his family, I can imagine, means so much, right? So He was the latest Brooklyn Dodger star from the Boys of Summer to be voted into the Hall, along with Jackie Robinson, Duke Snyder, Roy Campanella, Pee Wee Reese. So we'll hear from his son coming up on our Hump Show, along with Kevin Harlan. So join us tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.